start or you want me to start? You ready? That's okay. Dead air at the right at the beginning is not great for a podcast, I'll tell you what.
What's up, guys, and welcome back to another 25 Foot High Podcast. I'm your host, co-host, Cade White, along with Zach Gibbs.
I'm your co-host as well.
I said.
I'm your host, co-host.
Yeah.
Zach Gibbs.
We would like to start this off by thanking the people that make this possible. Me and Zach.
Yep.
Also, Native Sense, that's NativeSenseLSC.com. Check them out for awesome scents. Threads Custom Bowstrings. And they're on Facebook website. And then also, link down below, especially if you're on YouTube, our website to where you can get one of these awesome looking hats or decals. We do have decals as well. So check them out below.
We should do some sort of special something for the people that get those big decals like we have in the back of our windows.
Well, they can do the, if they go back and listen to what was the first podcast we got back? Was that number 11?
Is it 11 or 12?
It's the first podcast. If you go on YouTube, it's the first podcast listed recently. Yeah, like the 12. First one, I think is 12. If you go to it and during some point in that podcast, we give you a discount code that is still available. So go watch that podcast, check it out. And that discount code is good for decals as well, which is 15%. But you got to go back and watch it to get the discount code.
Yeah. I will say this. If you take a picture of any I'll do this. If you take a picture of any decal and tag us in your story on Instagram, we'll repost it. And it doesn't even matter if it's on your truck. I'd prefer if it was on your truck because that's what country boys do. But
that's what people see, too.
Yeah, that's what more people see. But, I mean, if you put it on, like, a gun case or your safe or something, or I don't know, what else would you put a sticker on? Laptop?
Laptop. Your
Oh, yeah, koozies.
Cup, I mean, not koozies. Your cup. Like, that's I'm going to have to put – I'm going to have to get one of these and put one of our decals on.
Yeah, put one of the small ones. Yeah.
We have decals that are – 2 inches tall by 10 inches long. Then we have one that's a 10 by 10, which is the big one. And then we got the square logo and a 4 by 4. I believe that's the measurement of it. So you can go on the website, and it's listed under accessories, I believe. I built a website. I should know that for a fact. So, but, you know, it's hard to remember everything.
Yeah. I don't even remember, like, a tenth of the videos I've made.
No, I would like I'll go to our channel and just scroll down. It's like, oh, I forgot about that.
And it's honestly, it's really nice. Like, you forget about stuff, and it's like you scroll back on the channel, like just looking at old videos or whatever. And I'll click on a video I don't remember filming, and sometimes I'll go back and remember that that's a spot I only went to once. Now I'll go like right then and put a mark on my hunt stand or whatever. And, like, make sure I go back to that spot at some point.
Yeah.
That's happened to me a few, especially on public land, happened to me a few times.
I was trying to remember how many does I shot last year. And I just went through there and just started scrolling down through last year's video. I couldn't remember if I killed 3 or 4. Well, I killed 4.
Yeah, I was about to say, I thought you killed 4.
Yeah.
I need to get on the does this year. I last bow season was probably the worst bow season since, like, the year after I started bow hunting.
Well, so we have a side goal this year, other than far as killing does and stuff, or bucks or whatever. We have another thing that we have to do. I've told you about this, but at our hunting camp, our freezer went out and we lost.
Oh, yeah.
No one monitors our freezers daily at our hunting camp, so it went out, and I went up there the other day to grab a few cameras that I left up there, and our freezer went out, and we lost probably about 3 deer worth of meat in that freezer. So we got to recover.
The worst part about it was I cracked that freezer. Kate said, go get a whiff of that freezer. I didn't think anything of it. I thought he had some, like, a peach cobbler that Miss Chris made or something, Kate's mom. And I was like, you know, something like that is what I was expecting. I opened up the freezer, and it hit me like a ton of bricks, and I saw right on the top rack of that freezer, I saw a perfect deer heart. that was already changed color, and I thought, oh man. Because deer heart, if you've never had it, I highly suggest it. It's definitely my favorite cut of meat out of a deer.
It's very disappointing because I had all that meat in there. Then I also had a box full of scents as well that I take a lot of the scents and put them in the freezer, not necessarily to save them till next deer season, but if I wanted to use it for scouting and stuff like that, even if it was a little bit old, it'd still be fine, you know.
In a freezer, especially.
Just to cover scent a little bit, and it went bad too. So you got to start from scratch on our camp deer meat, our house deer meat, and their scents. So we're gonna be going to www.nativescentsllc a lot.
I might just message old Zach New privately.
Yeah,
be like, hey man, dude. So what you're telling me, basically what you're saying, it's like you're saying it. It's if you read between the lines, you're saying I'm gonna come to your lease and help you with doe management.
Well, we're gonna definitely do some more doe management. So last year I killed 4. This year we're gonna have to kill more. So first 10 days from October 15th to October the 24th, it's October 25th opens up does. So October 15th to October 24th is buck only. But I guarantee October 25th, them old nannies better watch out.
And based on what my trail cameras are looking like, I mean, granted it's July 7th, but and October 15th is a long time away, but based on what I'm seeing, there's a couple spots where I should be able to go in during bow season and get me some meat.
Yeah.
So.
And there's nothing. So you hear it on bucks, but you're so excited when you shoot a good buck with a bow, you really don't get to enjoy it as much.
Yeah.
But when you shoot a doe with that bow and you hear that,
oh yeah!
Oh man, that does you so good.
It's almost like you can hear the lungs popping if you hit it just right.
Mm-hmm.
Man, and it like you're saying like you get so excited on a buck you don't get to enjoy it. But I know both of us are a little bit the same. I get fever so bad even on does.
I get pumped up on does. So there's two different sides of me, especially bow hunting. If I shoot a buck, I get so excited that I break down a little bit.
He hyperventilates. I thought he cried when he shot me. I watched the video that night and I was like, dude, were you crying? And he's like, no, I wasn't crying. I'm like, it sure sounds like it.
Yeah, I break down and I'll get pumped up, but then I'm like, you know. But when I shoot a doe, I get pumped up, but not quite to that level. Like,
especially like a.
So it's either like right there, there's that point. When you shoot a buck, you're like, I'm like almost having to call 911.
Yeah. Like, especially like a good buck with a bow.
Yeah.
Dude. But
that's the goal for this. That's the goal for this hunting season, dude. I didn't kill a buck with my bow last year, and it's driving me insane.
I didn't kill a deer with a bow last year.
I killed 3 does with my bow.
So what's crazy talking about this? It kind of reminded me. I kind of rekindled my love for hunting with a rifle last year accidentally, because like I don't have anything against hunting with a gun, and I do it every year. It's just. It to me, it used to be like a little lower on the scale, and it still kind of is, but
I don't
like 2 years ago when I like really got into bow hunting, I shot like a buck, I missed a buck, and I don't know what all I did, but I killed like 3 deer with a bow, like 2 years ago I think, in 1 year, and that was like the most I'd ever killed. I would see pictures on Facebook, and then I would even. On a couple of them, I would even be the person that commented on those Facebook groups, like bow or gun. I'd see other people comment and they say, oh, I shot it with a gun. And I kind of was like, oh, well. It's almost like a bummer. But that changed the last year for me because I went all bow season. I missed a deer on public land like early on in season and didn't get like another chance with a bow that whole season hardly. And I had a couple minor chances that I should have made work, but having, like, hunting with a bow, and then as soon as rifle season come in, being jacked up because I could actually hunt with a rifle, and then not killing anything till like, January. Dude, that was the worst. That was the worst buck fever. I shot a doe on, like, it was, like, early in January on my lease, and it was some of the worst buck fever I've ever had in my life, ever since, like, probably I shot my first deer.
Yeah, so you can judge, you can judge how good my hunting season has gone by how early I pick up a rifle. Because if I shoot, like, the year I killed the Velvet Six, which is right there, I don't know if it's in frame, though. It's not. And then Mohican, I didn't pick up a rifle until probably around January the 10th, around mid-January.
I did the same.
I kept the bow out all, I mean, pretty much all year.
Oh,
but last year I didn't have hardly a chance in the world at shooting a buck because they were just, it was difficult that I picked up my rifle as soon as rifle season came in. And I kept telling everybody, like, I'm going to go back to my bow once I get some.
Never
did. And never did it.
I was forced to, though, because I had public land up around school that I could, I'm not going to just not hunt just because I have to bring a bow. But, I mean, that, you know, a lot of these WMAs, especially in Alabama, it's like, you can only hunt with a rifle 10 days here, a weekend there, 10 days here. So I had a lot of time with my bow last year, and I was, every second I sat in a tree with a bow, I was like, man, I wish I had my gun. after gun season came in on, like, private landing on National Forest.
Yeah, I love bow hunting. Bow hunting is my favorite way to be in the woods.
Oh, yeah.
But that dropping the boom,
there's something special.
Feels pretty satisfying as well.
And like I say, I rekindle my love for it, but also I realize, like, not just rekindle my love, but also had a realization that it can be harder, or it can be as challenging and as frustrating as bow hunting, because I missed two opportunities on really, really nice deer, even though I had a gun in my hand. And, like, when I was, like, so focused on bow hunting, I was like, oh, if I had a gun, I definitely could have killed that deer. But sometimes, like, I had that one deer, and I hate to even talk about it because it hurts me still. I had a really nice, it may have been a 4-point, but he was, like, out to the edge of his ears, and he was wide and tall, and he was a good buck, and there's videos up on the channel. All I remember seeing was a good set of antlers in a food plot. I laid my gun down on the rim of the window, and I leveled off, and I was as steady as I've ever been on a deer in my entire life, and I held it right above the heart in the shoulder area, and I squeezed off, and when I shot, it dropped. I was like, oh, man, I got my second buck of the year. I was jacked up. I was excited. About the time my gun hit the side of the shooting house, set it back down, he jumped up and run off. And then I went and shot my gun, and I was shooting 6 inches high at 100 yards, which was probably even higher at 150, the way my gun's set up. And I had to have just backslapped, or maybe I pulled the trigger and didn't realize it. But either way, just stuff like that, it makes you realize that you can make mistakes even if you've got a Remington 700, which is supposed to be the quote-unquote most accurate out-of-the-box production rifle. You know,
I don't know if it still is, but it was at one point. Yeah, I mean, we both were kind of plagued with bad luck.
One of the biggest problems, which I think we're going to get into it a little bit here in a second, but we were just talking about it off air, but one of the biggest problems with last year was that it was an absolute bumper crop of acorns.
It was terrible. Like, it was amazing. It was an incredible crop, but it was really bad.
It was bad
for deer hunting. But when, me and you were both kind of plagued with a little bit with our rifles. I did end up killing my my buck with my rifle, but luckily it was only like a 75 yard shot. So I shoot a small caliber. He shoots a 243 and I shoot a 7mm 08 99% of the time. Every now and then I shoot a 270 or something like that. But luckily I sight my gun in zeroed at 25 yards. And when I say zero, I'm talking about perfect, perfectly on. I shoot quite a bit of rounds to get it perfect at 25 yards. And then the ballistic coefficiency of that, I end up being dead on at 250 yards.
Ballistic coefficient doesn't mean that. That's just the ballistics.
Well,
ballistic coefficient is the measure of the aerodynamic of the bullet.
Oh my bad, I misspoke. So
you're good. I just wanted to make it sound like we're smarter than we actually are.
Yeah. Okay. My bad. So the ballistics of it, I was thinking about something else, but the ballistics on it, I forgot what it is. I'm like an inch and three quarter high to 100 or something like that.
Yeah. So you should be dead on around 150, 200, something like that.
But dead zeroed at 250 off that.
Okay.
Dead on at 25, dead zero at 250. I may be speaking wrong. I'd have to go back and look at the sheet. I always study that sheet right before deer season, yeah, or right before I pick up. Then I just, but I was plagued a little bit because my first buck that I shot at, I killed him, but I hit him a little far to the left than what I was initially aiming, killed him. It hit his heart, so yeah, it was great. But that was only because he was like 75 or 80 yards away. But it ended up biting my tail. Somehow my gun got off to where it was an inch left at 25 yards.
That's not good.
That's terrible is what it is. So when I shot at that second buck that I saw last year, he was like 110 yards. I straight up missed him left.
That's crazy.
So it was bad. So you were plagued with the same thing. Luckily, I just missed mine. You hit yours.
But I'm convinced. I'm watching the footage and I've seen footage of that same thing happening before. It's, some people call it the classic back slap, where you go above the spine and like through the back straps basically, and it just sends enough of a shock into the spine to where they fall down, but they're not hurt at all. He's gonna have a scratch on his back basically.
Yeah,
probably won't even get infected because it's raining that day. I don't know if that makes sense. That's just my thoughts. Washed it off. I mean, that's what you do when you get a cut on your finger or something. You wash it off first. You know what I mean?
That's typically super glue it.
Yeah, that's, Corona can't touch him.
But so I mean, it's not like me and him both are like, we're using good scopes too. It just happens sometimes. Like, I mean, I haven't even pulled my gun. I was so disappointed after I did that I didn't even pull my gun out hardly after that. I swapped to a different one.
Yeah.
Couple of days of season that was left, however many was left. But I'm going to go back before I rifle it this year, take my scope completely off my gun, and remount it, rebore sight it, and then waste ammo, which is a terrible time to have to waste ammo.
Hopefully it'll be kind of back to normal.
I hope so.
A little bit. Because I really want to get my pistol back out this year. I got a 460 rolling. If you want to watch both of us shoot at a deer with a pistol, you can scroll way back in our channel. Or just type, I think if you type in 44 mag versus deer, it's one of the first.
Mine's going to pop up. Listen. If you go back and watch that video, it's worth watching. Like, it's worth. But I really apologize for the music. I apologize for the music. We had no idea what we were doing when we edited those videos. No.
We still kind of don't. Yeah, but we're better than we were.
We done this. We done, like, if you go watch our first videos, there's music. Now We very seldom imply music.
And when we do, we videos. Make sure it's like for me at least, I don't really know your whole like idea behind editing, but like when I do it, I put like I mostly only use it for B-roll, and I would
that's
like
about
fade
what
it
I
out.
Do it now.
But when I'm doing that, I put all the clips kind of together and leave a little buffer between the clips. So like if I want to line it up with like the beat of the music or something or whatever, and I'll pick out good quality music, way better than that Ben Sound crap.
That was the only thing we knew about at that time.
And now we've found way better
legit ways to get
same music
solid music.
I used the same music on a recent video that was used in that's used as the intro for Off the Ranch.
I've used that same tone too.
Yeah, I found it on a certain place.
I don't know. I forgot.
Remember what it was. I think it's a YouTube channel.
Where we get most of our music's tagged in our descriptions below.
Yeah.
So, anyway,
that's kind of how we edit. But we didn't know what we were doing back then. But either way,
take it and turn the audio off whenever I'm not talking and just watch it. Yes, we apologize.
But
what's amazing? That's still our number one viewed video. And it's demonetized. We don't get anything off of it.
No.
We don't get anything. You shoot one animal with a Clint Eastwood special,
Nope.
But there's 12-year-old girls twerking getting paid for it.
Oh, yeah.
That's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
I hate society.
Either way, the whole point of this was, it's like that meme, we live in a society. But anyway, I really want to get out and start practicing with my 460. It's a 1911. I shot a deer with it two seasons ago, I think.
It was the same year, I think.
I think you
killed yours first, I think.
I did. It was like a week
because
before.
I killed mine like the first week of January.
And I killed mine the first day of January because it was the last day. It was the last day.
No,
you
killed. No, you. Yeah.
It was the last day you could legally kill a deer on public land.
Yeah.
A doe.
That's what I was saying. I thought it was like December the 30th or something like that.
No, I remember it was January 1st and my dad texted me and he's like, he was like, hey, you can't shoot does on public in January. And I'm like, I didn't know that. But then I looked at the rules, and it closed on January 1st. It was like January 2nd was the first day on National Forest of buck only.
Yeah, I thought it was in December.
Or it was that year. It may have changed. I don't know. I need to check.
No, what I'm saying is I thought you killed the deer in December. I thought it was like December 30th when you shot him. I don't know. I don't remember. That was a long time ago. I don't remember what I ate for breakfast this morning.
I'm pretty sure it was January 1st. Because it was like, I remember I was on break from work and school. So either way, we both shot deer with pistols. I really want to get my pistol out again and go to shoot it. But
you can't find ammo for the 460, can you?
Everything sold out. And it does say back ordered. So it gives me a little bit of hope, but also I feel like every time I go on there, the back order date gets knocked back, even though I'm not paying that much attention.
Can you purchase it while it's on back order?
Yes.
I would go ahead and do that.
I probably should, because I've only got like one box of that stuff left, like about 50 rounds, which I could. I mean, for like, if you think of that pistol as a deer rifle, which is kind of how I think about it, I could shoot a couple rounds, but man, there's so much more that goes into shooting a pistol.
You twist your wrist slightly.
That's one thing. Like, if you're big into bow hunting, I would highly, highly recommend getting a very powerful pistol and handgun, whatever you want to call them, and go try to shoot a deer with it, because there is so many similarities to shooting a between shooting a bow and shooting a handgun.
That was the second best I ever felt shooting a doe.
Oh, yeah.
I want to do it again.
Mine weighed like 45 pounds or something, I felt amazing.
Yeah, I plan on doing it again. Like, but last did it last year was such a bad experience. I didn't even take. Now I did carry. That's one thing in Alabama. Now you can carry multiple weapons with you.
I think that you, might only be on private land.
Oh well, okay. It might be only on private. You can carry multiple weapons. So sometimes I didn't do this last year, but so, sometimes I'll carry during rifle season. I'll carry my bow and my rifle. But most of the time when I go rifle hunting, I do carry my 44 with me. And if the opportunity presents itself close enough, then I would swap over. Unless it's like a really big buck, now I'm not going to take the chance. You know,
like that, my buck last year, the one-sider buck, my dad nicknamed him 50 Cent after I killed him. But that buck, if I would have been practicing with my pistol, I definitely could have shot him. I shot him like 45 yards, dude. And that, what, the craziest part, I didn't see him until he was 45 yards away. And I was in a fairly open spot for my lease.
And one thing about pistol hunting that's, I guess, kind of overlooked in a way, is that is probably the one style of hunting that takes the less amount of movement.
Oh yeah, dude. Because it's like bow hunting, but easier almost.
It's easier because you don't have to worry about getting caught as bad because you don't have to get draw back a bow. Exactly. But it's also a lot easier than rifle hunting because it's a lot smaller.
Oh yeah,
and like, you're able to move around easier.
I want to get I do carry my binoculars on my chest, which I could kind of compromise if I go back to it, but I really want to get one of those chest holsters so I can like hold my gun on my chest. I don't know how to work in the saddle, but it probably work fine because I mean my binoculars sit fine. I don't know. I'm just kind of thinking out loud right now, but I've been thinking really hard about getting one of those chest holsters so that I can, like, my arms usually sit on my bridge. If you're watching, you can kind of see my movement. But my arms kind of sit, like, just below my chest on the bridge of my saddle. And I would like to, it'd be really nice to have that gun right there. Because, number one, it'd be out of the way of the saddle. It'd be out of the way of me sitting down or anything. And I could just ease it out of the holster. And all I'd have to do is move my arms forward a little bit to aim.
Yeah, and Zach, you may can correct me. It's just this is my opinion. I highly recommend going pistol hunting for deer, but please use something a higher caliber than a 45 ACP.
Oh yeah,
but
unless you
maybe
know
so I guess 10 millimeter is technically a higher caliber because the efficiencies, speeds and stuff, but
it's got more energy and it's faster and has more energy. The 10 millimeter is a very, very capable.
The 45 is just a bigger bullet
and it's going slower.
So it's either the smallest caliber to use, I would say, is a 10 millimeter, but do not use a 40 or a 45.
Yeah, because, well, I watched a video of a dude dropping a deer in its tracks with a 1911 45. It was like a 5-inch barrel 45, and it was awesome. I watched a guy, there's this crazy dude, I'm sure you guys have seen him on YouTube if you're into hunting. It's the same guy, I believe, that shot the deer, or that missed the deer with the 50 cal and claimed that killed it.
Yeah, so fake.
That I didn't even think. It's probably fake. He had a 2.3-inch barrel, a concealed carry 45, supposedly dropped a deer.
Because I'm sure anybody that is watching this has heard or seen that video where that guy misses the doe with a 50 BMG and it kills it. I'm doing quotation marks if you can't see me. Kills it because of the shock wave coming off the bullet as it goes by its head. Yeah, that's fake. That's not how bullets work.
So I believe
Demolition Ranch built a house of cards and shot a 50 BMG bullet through it, and it didn't knock the house of cards over.
Yeah, I was about to say, I know Demo Ranch has done it. I believe that the Mythbusters have done something similar. I believe.
I can tell you one thing. There's a lot of nonsense on YouTube, but I believe 99.99% of the things I see Matt Carricker do.
Oh, yeah. Because he's
big enough. People would call him out if he did it any other way.
And he's also, he seems really, like the type of guy. I mean, if you watch his vlog channel, like, he does spend money on extravagant things sometimes. But for the most part, especially like making videos, he doesn't spend any money on his videos. He spends money on guns and cars, or crazy vehicles. I wouldn't even say cars. Crazy vehicles.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't spend, like, you know how much money it would cost to CGI the slow-mo where you can actually almost see the bullet go through that house of cards?
It would be... I mean,
he films with a GoPro. How is he going to fake that?
He didn't make any money off of, he didn't make any ad revenue off of Demolition Ranch either.
Not really.
Not very little.
Yeah.
Even though he has 10 million subscribers.
I will say, so his channel may be different. I don't know anything about big YouTube, but like, I know that a lot of people have had a lot better. Response from YouTube doing gun videos
recently.
He posted on his Instagram recently where he the last like 10 videos or something never on Demo Ranch never got demonetized. However, I feel like, don't tell YouTube this, but I feel like there might be some sort of like ad block for him, because I guarantee if you just watch a Demo Ranch video, there's less ads than other videos.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's less ads on ours a lot of the time, too.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about, like, the restricted videos.
Yeah.
Or the age-restricted or the ad or the block or the demonetized videos. There's still ads on demonetized videos. We just don't make any money off of it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that even on the videos, like, I had watched the last few videos when he had posted that the Instagram thing where X amount of videos didn't get demonetized and they were Demo Ranch videos. I'd watched some of those videos and they still had less ads than normal. So, like, he's on their list. I know.
Yeah, yeah. It's
to be that big of a gun channel.
It's the biggest.
It is. I believe it is
He is the biggest. He has 10 million subscribers now.
That's crazy. And for him to be that big and be a gun channel and be posting on a very liberal platform. He has to be on some type of list.
Well, you got to think, guys like us, even though we're not to be compared to Demo Ranch.
Oh, not yet.
Not to be compared.
Not yet.
Us, Demo Ranch, Kentucky Ballistics.
Hickok 44.
The Hunting Public.
Yeah.
Seek One. All those guys. I'm missing some. But all those guys, you got to think. No matter what your political views are, which I'm pretty sure if you're watching this, I know what they are, but you got to think we're posting on a liberal platform, and all those guys stand for everything they stand against, whether it be free, God, guns, freedom.
Exactly.
So we're going to be attacked. I mean, as small as we are, we can see how they can throttle some of our videos.
Oh, yeah. And the one thing, though, is, like, I say one of the – it sounds kind of conceited, I think, or, like, selfish or something. But one of the reasons why it's a minor reason in all the big reasons. But one of the very, very small reasons why I do enjoy bow hunting more is because bow hunting is a lot more acceptable on YouTube.
It's not.
It's one of, like, I don't want to sound like
it's not that's fully frowned upon. I mean, unless you're talking to guys with PETA, but it's not.
No, I'm talking about like as far as YouTube goes. Like YouTube doesn't restrict bow hunting videos near as bad as they do gun hunting videos.
We can.
I will say, like, I say that's kind of the reason why I like bow hunting more. It's kind of a joke, but also, like, there is a tiny bit of truth to it. And I want to say also that that's definitely not the only reason. why I like bow hunting more, because there's so many other reasons.
Well, it's kind of like you could take the same exact video hunting, and this I'm talking about, you could and edit it to this way, the same exact video, and have a guy or have you shooting at deer with a rifle where it shows you shooting that deer with that rifle, and then you could just crop out you shooting it with a rifle and insert you putting a gun or a bow, shooting it with a bow. Different. It's gonna get complete. It's gonna get seen completely different.
Oh yeah, it's crazy how YouTube works and all that stuff. But it's just fun. It's
kind of a tangent. We need to circle back.
It's way a tangent. But
that's what we deal with on a daily basis, though, looking at this stuff.
Oh yeah, but I checked my trail cameras today.
It got a couple things, didn't you?
Oh yeah. So it's kind of weird. Which I mean, there's another thing we were talking about off camera, but it's kind of weird how like I had one spot where I had a couple or two spots where I had a couple pictures of bucks in the first week, because I checked them. As you should know, I put out some mineral, and then a week later, I went out and checked my cameras, and the only reason I went out that early was to put out a little bit more corn and to make a video. And I had bucks on two of those spots, and I had one spot that had a buck coming in there super regularly. And I went back after, I just checked, how many days are there in June? 30?
Something like that.
It's either 30 or 31, I know that. I think it was June 17th when I put out the mineral. And I went back and checked it 6 or 7 days later. And then today is June 7th, or July 7th. And I just went out and checked them again. And the two spots that had like a buck show up every now and then didn't have a single picture of a buck. I had plenty of does hitting that mineral.
And we talked about this a little bit, but that's one thing, and I think this is one thing good for y'all to hear, just in case it happens to you and you think you're going crazy. But if you've, this time of the year especially, and I think it lasts all the way until summer patterns are gone completely. But if you have a camera out and you start, like your first while of checking that camera, get nothing but bucks, and then all of a sudden you start hitting does trickle in, and then does move into that spot, them does are going to run your bucks off from coming to that spot. And you can go from getting bucks every day to not getting any bucks at all on that spot. And it can happen the other way, but yeah, not as typical. Most of the time, does run a buck off of the year, because bucks are very docile at this moment. They're not going to be aggressive in that manner.
And the thing is, like, getting into the biology of it, which I don't fully understand it at all, but it, like, their brains are almost wired different, especially this time of year. And most bucks, especially the older age class bucks, like, even though I got a picture of a buck in the first week at two spots, which normally is a really good sign, those bucks, once they start interacting with does this time of year, they want to be hermits, even though they're not getting hunting pressure. They're not trying to avoid altercations with other bucks. All times of year, except for the rut, they like to be kind of by themselves. You rarely see, I don't even know if it's that rare, but it's not super common to see a bachelor group of bucks in the summer hanging around a group of does, because I don't really understand it. I just know that bucks tend to like to be by themselves a lot more than does do.
Yeah, well, I know that I had pictures. So I've had situations exactly like this happen. I would have bucks on camera all throughout the day, every single day, for up to a month, and then one doe come in, then a couple more follow that doe there, to having bucks every single day for a month, to not having any bucks on that camera once does moved into it.
I haven't had that happen too often. Like, I've had it happen, just like similar stuff, but it's not as common where I've had pictures.
The only bucks in that situation, the only bucks you get on camera are like spikes and stuff like that. But the bigger bucks are going to stay away from a high doe population
for the most part at
this time of the year. Now, that's a good thing to know where your does are at, though, because that's where you need to be when cruising and chasing starts.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting how, like, does, their patterns do change some, like, going, like, different seasons. As all, pretty much every animal in the woods, their patterns are going to change throughout different seasons, especially, like, around the breeding seasons. But, and based on what food is there, whatever it may be. But it's pretty interesting how if you see a doe on June 1st in a spot, like if you see her every day of the month of June and then you don't go back to that spot for a while, you're probably going to see her every day for the month of November. Or it may not be every day, but she's still going to frequent that area pretty much all year.
Well, does have a smaller, in my opinion, which is really hard for me to back this up with statement, but I think does have a smaller, does are having a smaller core area than bucks.
It depends, I would say, because I would say, or what some of the research I've seen, does move more and they don't travel like bucks. And
more frequently during the day, but exactly, they don't travel long distances.
And that's the thing, like, and bucks don't necessarily, usually bucks don't travel long distances unless it's like, usually like when they get like, however, when they, I'd say about 2 years old, I think is what the general biologist consensus is when they distribute. And it's like whenever they come of age or whatever, and they really start being a man and start trying to breed, they're not going to breed with their mom. There's a thing in their brain that's already pre-wired into their brain to where they have to find their own home range. That's when they do a lot of traveling, is when they come into that second year. And then sometimes they don't do that dispersal until like three or so. And then the other thing is a lot of the data around like deer core ranges and stuff only takes place, or it takes place all year, and they don't discount the rut. So, like, October 15th, up for us, October 15th until January-ish, some early January, when that hunting pressure really starts getting to them, those bucks really tighten up that core area, and they don't move much until at night.
Until they get that special smell.
Yes, that seduction. Yeah. But that, and then the rut comes in and that throws all the data off, because like I've heard from guys that like really know what they're doing, like those Andre DeQuisto and I don't, like, I'm trying to think of another name, but those guys that like the Hunting Beast, those type of guys that hunt like bedding areas and they kind of target specific deer and they hunt them in their specific beds and stuff. A lot of those guys, what their anecdotal evidence is, which granted, anecdotal, is like those deer are hanging around like during the day, it's 50 yards. And then at night, sometimes it's only a couple hundred yards. Just because that's how much hunting pressure they have on them in that area, they're not going to move until the rut comes in. Like they're not going to, if they have everything they need within a couple hundred yards of their beds.
And they are. They are. They're going to find that bed that has all that.
Yeah,
there,
especially those big, old, mature bucks.
Very, you know, lazy creatures.
They seem like it. But
for the most part. Yeah. I mean, they can be just the like complete us. Opposite.
They're just like us in some ways. Like, if I walk through the woods, I may accidentally walk through a nasty, nasty thicket, which happened the other week when I was scouting. But for the most part, they either know how to traverse through that stuff. Like, that's why you see deer trails, because they've picked an easy spot, and that's what they walk through. And, dude, have you noticed?
It's just like you walking through your house. You know what's there. You know how to get
it. You're not going
to
walk over the couch.
Yeah.
Unless you're, like, 4 years old and you've had, like, 2 warheads or something.
And you're pretending you're Spider-Man. Yeah.
But have you ever noticed how when you're walking through the woods, like, you won't start on a deer trail? And you're not, like, let's say you're trying to get to a spot and you don't really care what's between you and, like, up into almost to that spot. You'll be walking through, like, some piney woods and then look down and realize, hey, this looks like a cattle trail. You ever notice that?
Mm-hmm.
It happens almost every time I walk in the woods. Like, you'll start walking somewhere and then just realize you're on a deer trail because you're taking the path of least resistance, and so are the deer.
Yeah. And you create a lot of deer trails. Like, not you, but you as a hunter create a lot of deer trails as well.
When you knock down a lot of that stuff.
If you go in there and you cut you a easy path to go into the woods, and like for a setup that you're going to have, well, you better be prepared, because if you cut a trail, deer are going to adjust to start using it.
Oh, yeah.
So you're not cutting that trail to this. You're cutting it so you can be quieter getting in. But you know what that does? That gives them deer a quieter trail to walk down to.
What's pretty interesting is one of the spots where I put out mineral, I kind of had to bust through like a couple bushes. It wasn't anything like crazy. It's a skitter trail that I'm walking down, but it's a few years old. And that stuff, some of it's grown up a little bit. And I remember there's one specific spot. Like, everywhere I, like, had to bust through a little bit of brush, there's, like, deer tracks, and, it's wider. It's a lot wider than when I first walked through it, and I've only walked through it twice. And there's one specific spot where I had to, like, bust down some vines to get, like, right next to a pine tree to get over into this opening, and that's where those deer are accessing that mineral. Or they're coming away from the mineral or something.
Yeah, they're going to adjust to the path of least resistance.
Which could be a good tip. If you walk up to a bedding area and it's thick all the way around that bedding area, you could theoretically bust down some brush until it gets extra thick where they're bedding, and kind of bust some brush back to wherever you want to hunt.
Yeah, find where they're bedding and find where their food source is, and you make them a trail that goes to.
They'll walk
from one to the other.
I will say the bucks probably won't.
The bucks probably won't.
Not during daytime, but I don't know. That actually would be a good strategy. Like on I don't know if you can do it on public in Alabama.
I mean, you can't go out there cutting down trees to do it, but you could just walk that path a lot.
Walk it
back
two or
and
three
forth
times.
And stop down
shoot
natural
two
undergrowth.
Or three times.
Yeah. You could just sit there and walk back and forth to them.
And then get out of there. Do it early enough to where the deer maintain the trail for you.
Yeah, like now.
Yeah. I might actually have to do that.
That'd be a good video.
Oh, yeah. Like, just put a camera up on it and see what happens.
Yeah.
And I've also seen the Hunting Public talked about this one time where they had to, like, knock down some brush and, like, crawl through some brush trying to stalk up on a deer. And then they were glassing it later that night or the next day or something. And there were, like, young deer that couldn't figure out that scent. It was, like, a pretty remote chunk, I'm assuming. But young deer couldn't figure out the scent, and they would eat the leaves where their scent was trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. They're very curious creatures as well.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if they don't feel immediately threatened by smell, that they'll hang around. They may be alerted more.
Yeah, well, go if you're going around public or private or something, and you see where a bunch of land is getting cleared, like logged or something, wait till a day that they're working extra hard, and then go out there the next morning at daylight, and there could be 20 acres. I don't know how much do loggers clear in a day?
I don't know. Well,
let's just round it off. Let's say it's 10 acres that they leveled.
Deer are going to be in that.
That night.
They're going to be in there as soon as the loggers leave.
Yeah.
As soon as it gets quiet. But as soon as it gets quiet for about 20 or 30 minutes,
They're gonna be like, what happened?
I mean, quite honestly, a lot of the times when we plant, like, we don't plant food plots until after bow season opens.
Yeah, we didn't last year. We usually do it like right before bow season.
A lot of the times, I'll go, like, if they plant a food plot earlier in the morning, I'll go sit on that food plot that evening and see deer.
You'll see does for sure.
Yeah, bucks may or may not. Maybe. It just depends. But like, I mean, I've seen bucks. I ain't never seen no big buck doing that, but I've seen bucks.
What's really interesting, it'll blow your mind if you've never seen it. And I'm sure somebody that's listening to this has seen it. But sometimes you'll be planting food plots, and then let's say you have to go down a road and you can't go out that road, you gotta come back. That one of those first few plots you planted that you drive back past, there'll be a deer in it sometimes. I've seen that once or twice.
Yeah, I have too.
It's crazy.
They're not, as long as it gets quiet, they're for just, I mean, I have this thing when I'm hunting, I just call it 15 minute rule. This applies differently to bucks, like big mature bucks.
Yeah, but, and it depends on how close you are to their bed and stuff like that.
But if you're hunting a travel area that's not right next to their bedding area, if you make noise getting in, after about 15 or 20 minutes, it really doesn't matter. All the deer that were in that area have moved on or remained bedded, and there's more funneling through. Now, that applies... You can really take that to heart during a rut. Like, it don't matter. I shot my 6-point from the year before last. I shot that 6-point, got down, went and made sure I hit it. Because go back and watch that video. I forgot what the name of it is. But I killed a big 6-point. And I was in a single man ladder stand, and I basically risked my life to kill that deer. Yes. I stood up, spun around, had no rail behind me, and leaned back with my leg wrapped in the tree stand, and leaned back and shot the deer free-handed. I'm really proud of myself for that shot. I'm not even gonna kid around. I'm proud of myself for that shot. But after I made that shot, I was nervous. I was excited, but I was nervous that, you know, because I couldn't really tell, because whenever you freehand, you don't get to recover from your recoil as fast. So I wasn't sure about my shot. So I got down, went to where that deer was standing, saw blood, and was like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to give this buck more time. So I turned around and walked back to my stand, sat down, and 5 minutes later, a small 8-point came by me.
Yeah.
Time of the year, it don't really matter.
So I've heard of people doing this, and I've heard it on podcasts and stuff like that. Like, you'll climb up a tree with a climber, and you can't avoid making at least a little bit of noise on a short leash.
When you're climbing a pine tree, you sound like three squirrels going at it. Like, up
or, or you sound like a buck running the doe.
Yeah.
Because I've never had it happen to me, and I don't know anybody personally that's really had it happen to him, but a lot of times you'll climb up a tree with a climber and sound like that. It's all that scraping. The deer kind of don't know what it is, and if a buck is riled up enough, he'll assume that it's like it might be a buck chasing a doe or dogging a doe or fighting another buck, and he'll come check it out.
A couple years ago, not even with a buck, a couple years ago, I was climbing up in my stand. And I was about halfway up the tree with my climber. And I paused for just a second, and I heard whoosh, 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 you know, just coming through the woods. And it was a little bit early for rut, but it was that time of the year. It might happen. It's possible. It was like January the 15th-ish.
Yeah,
like it can happen, but it's not. Is it really likely here? And I was like, oh my, oh my goodness. And I just heard that deer crash through. I'm a big guy using a climber up a pine tree. I'm making noise.
Oh, yeah.
And I turn around and I see this doe just barreling at me. And so I'm like, my gun is on the ground. That doe is running straight toward me. I wish I could have got on video, but like I said, I was still climbing. My bow was in the pack. My camera was in the pack. So that doe's come to me. I was like, the way that doe's moving, there's likely a buck behind her. So I turn around, grab my lanyard that's got my gun attached to it, and I get that thing up quick. And by the time I get that, gun in my hand, that doe runs right up underneath me. Right up underneath me. No buck followed it. I don't know what the doe was doing.
That's crazy.
But I was climbing, turned around, saw the deer coming from like a ways off, like 300 yards, but I heard it, and pull up my gun, get it just to my hands, and the doe runs right up underneath me. So,
crazy stuff.
Like you're thinking, is that deer okay? You know, is it something wrong with it? But it just kept going.
I think you may have hunted with me. I've got a very similar story. I think you might have been hunting on my lease when this happened, and I think I might have filmed this. I don't really remember, but back when I was using a climber, I was at the same food plot that you saw the bear in. And in the back of that plot, a lot of those trees, they're just big enough to put a climber on. And there's some of them that have vines all over them. I don't know if you've ever tried to climb a tree with vines all over it.
It's terrible.
Oh, my God.
It's terrible. I go to the next tree.
Well, that was the best tree. And I wanted to be in the best tree. And I was bow hunting. And it was in the back of a food plot. And I knew I was like 20 yards from where most of the deer crossed this plot, the back end of this plot. And I go to start climbing. If you guys have ever climbed a tree with vines on it, oh my God, it'll wear you out and it'll make every bit of noise in the world and it takes forever.
Yeah, don't do it. Go to the next tree.
Yeah, I would recommend not doing it.
Go to the next tree. Don't even
this
try.
Is also
it's
like,
terrible.
This is also like the second or third year that I had a climber. So anyway, I was climbing up this tree and I was making all the noise in the world and I had to like snatch my climber top up, and I had to like do the hardest, fastest crunch basically in the world to get my stand up. And finally, I get to my hunting height, and I'm trying to set my climber up to where I'm not, the seat's not too low or high or everything, and I'm trying to get everything situated. And I eased my head over because I thought I heard something. And there's a spike 40 yards away from it, and like I started climbing. It was still pitch black dark in the morning, and I get everything situated. Finally, I turn around, and it's shooting light. Like, it's 10 minutes after the sun come up, or after the first bit of gray light or whatever. But I turn around after making all this noise. I'm not even close to set. Like, I was still making noise. I turn around, and there's a spike there. He's not even looking at me, dude. He must have sworn it was a squirrel.
Well, spikes are, in my opinion, the dumbest creatures in the woods.
They are pretty stupid, but still, it's just crazy how sometimes they just do not care. Like, any deer just doesn't care.
Oh, we're talking about noise. Like, okay, so last year when I shot my big Cull 6, only buck I shot last year, I seen deer most of the time I was in that day sitting. And I think I saw like a total of 7 deer when I made that shot, and it was probably, you know, that's when it's getting dark at like 5:30, and I shot that deer at like 4:45. I've seen like 8 deer up to the point where I shot. Well, when I shot, it didn't scare all the deer out of the plot. And then I went on to sit there until dark and ended up having, I think it was 14 deer in the plot at one time after I shot the buck.
That's crazy. I shot a doe one time, and literally like 3 minutes later, a completely different group of like 3 or 4 walks out.
Mm-hmm.
But you know the other side of that? Sometimes like you can get away with this crazy amount of noise, but there was one time I was in a shooting house. This was on a pipeline, and we're not in that lease anymore, but you're basically set up uphill, like a good ways uphill. And I think the start of the plot is 80 or 100 yards from the front edge of the shooting house. And like, it's such a good incline. We were in a shooting house that was built like 6 inches off the ground, and you could see it went downhill a good ways and then flattened out, and there's a swamp, and then you could probably see a quarter of a mile or more to the end of the next guy's food plot. But either way, right at the edge of the plot, like I mentioned, was like 100 yards, and I think the back edge is about 180. I had a really nice buck walk out at, I want to say it was just past the start of the plot. And he was staring at me because I had my binoculars up, and I was just looking through my binoculars at like a rabbit or a crow or something, and he steps into my view, and he's staring at me right away. And like an idiot, I eased my binoculars down, which I thought if I moved slow enough, I could get him all the way down. So I got him all the way down eventually, but I think he kind of saw me, which may have been the reason. But I was wearing those insulated coveralls that have those, it's like that, almost like a training jacket or a raincoat or something material in it. You know what I'm talking about? And sometimes in jackets,
they have that noisy material.
Yeah, it's some type of noisy material. And just me pulling my hand out of my pocket, like, he'd kind of calm down. He'd get a mouthful of food, and I think it was during the rut. And he'd walk a few steps, and I'd ease my hands out about a halfway, and he'd perk his head up and stare dead at me. And I didn't even grab my gun before that deer was out of the plot, because he was so keen on every tiny little bit of noise.
Probably a really still day, too.
It wasn't like crazy still, and I could hear, it was still enough, but I was also in a shooting house where I could hear my hands moving out of that noisy material. But I did end up getting my hands out, and then just the noise of those insulated coveralls, which aren't loud. Like, I got my hands out and I got like settled in. He was like 3/4 of the way out, like to the other side of the pipeline, which I think they're like 20 or 30 yards wide. Maybe 40, I don't know.
Yeah.
He made it about 3/4 of the way across, and I leaned down slowly, and as soon as my finger touches the gun, he perks back up, looks dead at me. And it had to have been noise, because it'd be like I'd move a little bit, and that's when he'd perk his head up.
That's the reason coveralls. When it comes to hunting our colder weather that we have, I stick to, like, even though it's not as durable, I always go with fleece.
Oh, I love fleece.
I always go with fleece. And if you shoot something and you know you're about to have to walk through some thick stuff, you might want to have an extra pair of pants to change into for tracking and stuff like that.
Fleece is an outer layer.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Because if you catch
briars and stuff on fleece,
yeah, you're done.
Yeah, I typically have another pair of pants in my truck. Or I'll have like jeans or something up underneath my. And if I know I'm about to have to do a lot of walking through the woods, I take the fleece off.
Exactly, because I'd say just wear it as an outer layer. Because like if you're,
I do most of the time. Yeah. But sometimes it's cold enough to wear fleece, but it's not cold enough
to walk in fleece.
To wear stuff up underneath the fleece.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That's one thing I really need to get this year is some sort of like base layer for pants, because I can't stand, like, you like wearing jeans and then something over jeans when it's extra cold.
If it's under 35 degrees, I can tell you exactly what I'm wearing.
Jeans with those fleece.
I'm wearing jeans, then a pair of jogging pants. And then the fleece on top, and son, it is warm. I don't care. I can sit there and not get cold. The only thing that's going to get cold on me is my toes, because I have yet to find something to keep my toes from freezing.
I'm the same way with my feet.
I can tell you one thing, and I hope we don't get in trouble for saying this, but do not, I repeat, do not waste your money on Thermacell heated shoe insoles. Buy Thermacell mosquito repellent
stuff.
They're
the greatest, one of the greatest
but
things.
But do not buy the. I bought a pair that cost $130. They worked one hunt. I contacted them to try to get it back because I have contacted Thermacell in the past because they're a like an actual mosquito Thermacell, but they would not warranty that heated shoe insole.
Probably because they knew it was a. Have they discontinued that stuff?
I've seen them still.
Yeah.
I don't know if they still make them or if they're just that many overstocked. But
yeah, I feel like for me though. I can't stand wearing jeans under something. I just cannot stand it. And it's all personal preference, but I would like to have, because what I already do is wear, like, fleece, like, pajama pants or, like, just regular sweatpants under my like, hunting pants.
Yeah.
And that's what I like doing. I would like to get some, like, legit, because, hey, you know, I wear Kuyu, which I'm not, like, a huge advocate.
He's one of those.
Shoot, three quarters of my hunt last year, you know what my top was? My top outer layer was that that green hoodie that I got custom made.
I'm the type of person, I'll wear real tree pants with a mossy oak shirt or the other way around. I don't care. I
wear what
I like good quality clothing. The camo pattern on it's not as important to
me. That's why I like Kuyu, because I like the good quality clothing. And it's like I say, also on another
great great granddad killed him with red flannel shirts. So.
Yeah, and I shot. So I've got a video. It's up on the channel. I had a doe walk. I was sitting on the ground because this spot you can climb up any tree in there. You can put a climber in most trees. You can put a saddle in most trees. But if you climb 6 feet off the ground, if your platform or your bottom of your climber is 6 feet off the ground, you're going to see about 10 feet around the tree. It's weird. It's the same place I shot my turkey this past year. But it's like, if you're standing up and you're walking through it, it's mediocre. You sit down next to a tree, you can see 50 yards. You're up in a tree, you can see, like, the base of the tree.
We ought to just stop talking about this. We've had a really good podcast, and come back and talk about clothing. In another podcast.
We should. All I'm saying is, I was sitting down next to a tree with camo pants and a solid OD green hoodie, leaned up next to a tree with not that much cover around me, and that doe didn't even see me until I could have probably reached my deer off. If I would have had it out, I could have eased it up and poked her in the side almost. She was like 3 yards away. And there's the videos on the channel. What's up was my camera died like right before she spooked. Or like it was literally like right after she saw me, my camera battery died because I forgot to charge it the night before.
Rookie mistake.
I have so many rookie mistakes too. I've been doing this for like 4 years.
Yeah, well, I mean, compared to some, we still are rookies.
Yeah.
But I can't wait to get back out there and check my cameras for my deer. I'm a deer attractant test.
I want to try to put out. I think what I'm going to do is put out something other than like the salt and which I don't know. I want to put out something like that 4S jar, like sugar beet crush or something more along those lines. That's more like protein with attractant and flavor because I feel like the deer really like the salt, but I feel like if they can get around the dicalcium phosphate, they would. It's kind of what it seemed like. Going back and looking at my stuff. So I kind of want to just do something more like that on my stuff. And hopefully, if I do it right, that it'll last longer than 3 weeks. But
that's what I'm worried about. So when I put my stuff out, the forecast said it wasn't going to rain for like 3 days.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, that's pretty good. I mean, especially right now where it's raining every day, I was like, 3 days, I can legit get some feedback in 3 days of that rain. And then it rained 2 days later, and it hadn't stopped raining since. So I'm a little bit worried about the test, because I've got like $60 invested in just this video. That's not a lot of money for hunting attractants if it works, but that's a lot of money to spend for just to play with.
Yeah. But the good thing is, like, if it's anything like my mineral stuff, like, yeah, it may soak into the ground, but there's one of those spots where they're like, I had actually mixed it into the ground, like 3/4 of it, and then poured the rest on top. And there's a hole, if you're watching, it's this big, but if you're listening, it's probably about 1.5 feet across by about 1 foot wide, and it's probably 3 or 4 inches deep where those deer have dug out that mineral out of the ground and eaten it all.
Beach ball size, basically.
If you got a beach ball in front of you, it's about a quarter of the bottom.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, it's crazy. One thing about the rain, though, this is probably going to be our last thought. We didn't really have a topic. We had a topic when we walked in here,
and we didn't cover that topic.
We have not mentioned the topic at all. And it's been an hour. But we'll do it
a little bit over an hour.
So anyway, the last thing I'm going to say, with all this rain we've had, now oak trees, they're not solely the oak tree production, hard mass production, acorns are not solely their production is not solely based on the amount of rain we have. It's usually something that nobody understands, I think. Maybe there's a forester, an oak biologist or something that understands how oak trees work. But no matter what the rainfall is, usually the amount of acorns doesn't necessarily follow that. I mean, granted, if it's a drought, you're probably not going to have near as many acorns.
I just hope we don't have a hurricane come through
that knocks them all off.
That knocks them all off the right before deer season comes in, or that, knocks a vast majority of them off.
But the thing is, last year we were talking about this off air, and this is going to be my last thought of the day.
His second last thought.
This is the same thing I've been talking about.
I'm just kidding.
God. So that last year was an absolute freaking bumper crop of acorns. It was like I was hunting in a swamp that's nothing but hardwoods, which, granted, it's not all oaks, but there's a lot of oaks. And you could walk through there, and you'd just about roll your ankle on acorns. Like, you couldn't find, deer were so dispersed, and they didn't have a pattern because they'd go anywhere and get food. I don't want that. But I also don't want there to be zero acorns. Because if there's zero acorns, then they're going to be equally dispersed and not keyed in on a specific food. Like, if there's a ton of rain and no acorns, that means they're going to be eating every fresh green thing that's in the woods.
Or corn.
They'll eat corn, but they'll still be just as distributed like it was last year. And
I want a tree to be completely loaded with acorns every 400 yards or 500 yards.
Exactly, because then it'll be enough acorns to keep the deer keyed in on acorns. Because, like, if it's a really, really, really bad mass crop year and you find an acorn tree that's absolutely loaded, I've heard guys talk about this. They'll find a tree on a really bad mass crop year that's just absolutely loaded and just drop raining like hail. And H-A-I-L.
I don't think the other one.
Raining like rain. They're raining like raindrops, the acorns are.
Drop top.
Yeah. There's no deer under them. I've heard guys talk about that. Which doesn't make any sense, but it's just because the deer are so keyed in on everything but acorns. So what I'm hoping this year is that this rain will make enough trees to make it easier to hunt, have like really succulent, sweet acorns. So then the trees that you do find that are dropping, you might find a good bit of them, but not as many as last year, and the ones that are really dropping good will be really good acorns.
Or if
that makes sense.
Or if we have another crazy year, I hope we get a freeze earlier.
Yeah. So then they have to eat corn.
Or anything else.
Yeah. I really like hunting over acorns when it's like a mediocre crop year. Because then you can, then when you find acorn trees, when you find oak trees, you can key in on the ones that the deer are already keyed in on. Because like if you, you find an oak tree in an area that doesn't have hogs and it looks like hogs have been under it, like you may not kill a deer under that tree, but it won't take a whole heck of a lot of work to kill a deer near that tree. That's what I'm hoping for. But
it's a good hope.
Yeah.
Hope in one hand and pick up acorns with the other and see which one fills up faster.
Last year it'd be the acorns.
I think that's going to pretty much do us for today. I do want to point out this. If you did stick with us to this point, that promo code I mentioned about 15% off is the real ones, all lowercase, all together. 15% off our entire store, so it's decals or hats. So I just didn't want to give that out in the first couple of seconds.
Did you activate that yet?
Oh yeah, that's been
active. I was just making sure.
It's been active. That is our podcast thing. So
I might have to plug that in a video. Like not the actual discount code, but just say if you listen to the podcast, you'll get a discount code.
Yeah. Like I said, for hats and YouTube and stuff like that, I mean, we're not trying to get rich. We're just trying to help pay for like this equipment, our cameras.
I need a new bow sight.
Stuff like that. So
I really do. And if any of you have a brand new bow sight that you don't like, that's a good bow sight, I'll DM us on Instagram and I'll DM you back my address.
Just send it to us.
Yeah, if you're a really big fan.
So if you want to stalk Zach, go buy a good bow sight and DM him, and then he'll give you his home address so you can go find him.
Yeah, sounds like a good plan to me.
I mean, some things are worth it. Some things are worth it. Just remember, we support the Second Amendment.
Yeah, we do. I do need a free bow sight.
So check out the website. Get you a hat or a decal or both, or all of them. And then also check out NativeSense at www.nativesensellc.com or Threads Custom Bowstrings, and we'll see you in the next one.